This is the Roster Report podcast from Patriots.com. Don't know who got cut? We do. Not sure who was signed to the practice squad? Yep, we know that too. The Roster Report is your weekly guide to keep up with the Patriots roster from top to bottom. And now, here to keep you informed, the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.
Friday, April 2nd here at Gillette Stadium.
Good
We're
Friday.
We're here to talk about the big trade. Tom Brady to the Indianapolis Colts for Peyton Manning. Is it not appropriate to do April Fool's jokes on the second? Because, you know, they've, they've lost their intensity on the first.
They really have.
You move it to the second, you really
It's a whole weekend. When it's this late in the week, you can do a whole April Fool's weekend.
No, we do not have a Tom Brady trade to talk about. We don't have a trade to talk about. We don't have a signing to talk about.
We don't have a cut to talk about.
We don't have a cut to talk about. A draft pick.
Hell no.
We don't really have much to talk about, so we've decided to delve into the
quarterback position.
So that'll do it. So we're going to delve into the quarterback position because that has been the topic du jour this week on a couple different levels. Tim Tebow has been part of the discussion, first because he had a two-day visit here at Gillette Stadium, the second part of which included a dinner in the North End, and there were even reports that he was out in front of the restaurant with a football in his hand talking to fans.
Did he toss it to anybody?
I do not believe there was any reports of him playing catch in the street. Actually, he started to throw, and then the ball hit the guy on Wednesday because it takes so long for the ball to get there with his long delivery.
He amuses himself with these little
shots at Tim Tebow. Yeah. I do. The rest of the quarterback topic this week was the guy who's actually here and is already the backup quarterback, former undrafted free agent out of Michigan State, Brian Hoyer, also known as the Eric Scalavino lookalike, and the two looked in the mirror at each other and asked and answered questions this week. And Eric, you have some of the quotes from that discussion. Please elaborate.
I did, and we'll jump off on that Tebow point since that's what we started with. He was asked about the whole flirtation, if that's what you want to call it, with Tim Tebow that the Patriots had this week. And he said, you know, what do you make of this whole thing? And his response, his gut reaction
was just like the Rock.
Instinct was, bring him, let's go. And he said it with a smile. He went on to compliment him, said he's a great player, he's probably one of the most well-known football players, at least of my time, if not ever. Said he's a great athlete, a great competitor, had a chance to meet him when he was here, and thought he was a great guy. So he's looking forward to, if the Patriots do decide to take Tim Tebow, competing with him when he gets around here. But one of the other newsworthy comments that Hoyer made was that he felt like last year, he was competing with Tom the whole time. And he didn't mean that, like, you know, week to week there was a question of who was going to start. What he meant was that for him to improve as a quarterback, as an undrafted player, as you mentioned, unheralded coming into this league, he needed to compete with the best. And he had the best, literally, one of the best, if not the best, in Tom Brady. So he always looked at it like he would go into practice every day trying to do as well as, if not better than, Tom Brady.
I generally come to work every day thinking I'm competing with Adam Schefter to break NFL news. You know, it doesn't always play out like that. Sometimes he has more
But you have bars
stories
that
day
to reach,
than I do. But,
you know, standards that you've set.
Certainly.
Sure.
I think it is interesting because he even said he met Tebow.
Mm-hmm.
It's such an open dialogue of Tim Tebow, and we actually just posted a debate Friday on Patriots.com. Is the interest legitimate? You know, Bill Belichick's praise, over-the-top praise of Tebow at the AFC coaches' breakfast, at the owners' meetings. Then this Nick Caserio, Bill Belichick, Tim Tebow dinner in the North End that everybody finds out about. And it just, it's weird. I'm not sure we've ever seen anything like this before, Paul Perillo in the Bill Belichick era leading up to a draft. And I'm not sure what to make of it.
No, absolutely. I can't remember anything that was this open and public. You know, Bill has talked about him in glowing terms. They've been seen in public. They've been talked about, you know, and then to back that up, to follow that up, players are asked about it, and they're feeling comfortable enough to openly talk about it. So it's on every level.
Strange. And to be fair, there hasn't really been a player of Tebow's sort of, you know, luster, I guess, if you want to call it that.
Ever, if you ask Tebow.
Well, and a lot of the players are saying that, you know.
Listen, we talked about that yesterday on PFW in Progress, too. I agree with that. I think this is the most famous college football player ever. But the fact of the matter is, regardless of the guy's status, Belichick has entertained 30 guys every year since he's been here. And this is not the one guy we found out about, because we find out that sure. a lot of them are here. But this is the one guy he's willing to talk about specifically, willing to have himself seen in public with. Mm-hmm. And then, like I said, not only that, he's obviously has no problems with the current members of the team discussing mm-hmm. the situation as well. That has never happened. And I don't think it has anything really to do with the status of the player as much as trying to figure out exactly what this all means. And, you know, I think that we probably are on the side of if they had any intentions of drafting Tim Tebow high, they wouldn't be this public about it.
I agree.
And I really, I know it sounds like the, you know, the sort of obvious, you know, thing to say, well, there's no way, it's got to be a smokescreen. Well, I think sometimes the obvious choice is the right one.
And a lot of times these visits aren't these 30 visits that every team has aren't always for first round prospects. They're for that could be drafted in any round.
Mm-hmm.
They just need to get either more information or they want to get answers to,
which is why I don't buy it.
Lingering questions.
More often than not, they're about getting more information mm-hmm. on a guy you may want to draft
right.
at some point. And what more information could Bill Belichick get on Tim Tebow?
And most of those guys are not first round picks.
The,
right?
the argument I made in debate Friday was that when Belichick goes down to his to visit his friend Urban Meyer down in Florida over the years, he's obviously seen Tim Tebow, who's been a quarterback at Florida all those years. So he knows what he has in him as a quarterback. If he has any intentions of maybe transforming him into something else, he probably didn't have the time to do that when he went to Gainesville to see him on all those trips. So maybe this trip was to say, hey, look, Tim, we might have interest in taking you, but you're probably not going to fit as a quarterback. Here's what we're thinking about doing with you. Gauging his interest in that and maybe trying to, I don't know, if they had time to look at film or draw plays or whatever, but whatever sort of analysis they needed to do with him to see, okay, he might be a fit here, or there,
theory.
Or whatever.
It's decent theory.
Yeah. I'm not necessarily wondering why he would have him here for one of the visits. I'm wondering why he would decide to be so public about it.
Well, because I think it's already been established that he has a relationship with Florida, with Urban Meyer, with a lot of the players. Percy Harvin last year was very open in the draft, talking about how Bill used to take him aside and give him advice. So right. I think it's not like...
And Bill and Percy Harvin weren't at the North End.
No, you know, but...
Football's outside.
No, but Percy Harvin also wasn't, you know, in the stratosphere.
That's the only part of it that I don't get.
All the
football stuff that you're saying is all 1,000% accurate. I'm with you 100%. I think every scenario that you've brought up as a possibility, I think, is plausible. You know, you might want more information to see where you can use this guy. What I don't get, and this is why I don't think ultimately they're all that interested in selecting the guy, is why they would be so public about it, because they've never been this public about anybody.
No.
In 10 years.
I just chalk it up to the uniqueness of the case.
I have no idea.
But I think the uniqueness would make you be more
hush-hush, like Pat White last year.
You could go out with Percy Harvin, and there's a 50-50 chance. Well, they're obviously going to recognize Bill, but they're not going to recognize Percy Harvin. If you go out with Tim Tebow, everybody at the table is recognizable. Belichick and Tebow, he is the star. Everybody has seen the face, ads, games,
sure,
Heisman Trophy ceremonies, everything.
Right.
He is the story of this draft.
Do you remember last year there was the cloud around Pat White? The Patriots may be interested in him as a wide receiver, maybe,
right.
Slot guy,
right.
Maybe as high as a second-round pick. We found out after the draft, don't know if it's accurate, reports after the draft said Patriots weren't interested in him at all,
right.
as a wide receiver. So, again, the uniqueness of the position to me is not – there's something about this that doesn't make sense to me. I don't know what it is. And Fred's theory about Bill trying to help out Urban Meyer, I don't know. I'm not willing to shoot down anything. It's so out of character, I don't get it.
But the bigger question here, this is a roster report, not a PFW in progress, is – will they add a quarterback? We talked about Brian Hoyer ready to compete. Didn't have to compete a lot last year.
Only in training
Kevin
camp,
O'Connell
really?
Was kicked to the curb.
Yep.
That surprised people. And then he was the backup throughout
Andrew Walter
the year.
Came in here, and then they eventually
Yeah, I never really bought into that one. But, you know, he was those guys were kicked to the curb, and he was here all year long as the backup, despite being an undrafted free agent and, you know, not very well thought of, not all around, not the Matt Castle story where he's been here for 3 years. He knows the system. Will there be another quarterback brought in to compete, veteran or draft pick?
I think so. I think they got away with one last year, going a full season with just two quarterbacks. They tried it for about half the year back in, what was it, 06, when Testaverde came in like November. It was just Brady and Castle for the first couple of months. And then they realized down the stretch, okay, this is when things get serious. We kind of need an emergency situation. They didn't do that last year, and I think they got away with one, especially with Brady coming off the serious knee injury. So
veteran or draft pick?
Well, at this point, I don't think there's a whole lot in the way of veteran free agents, so they'd have to make a trade for somebody. I think more likely it would be in the draft.
I think draft as well. I think that Bill is not overly enamored with the veteran backup route. He's had a lot of opportunities to go out and get a guy that, you know, the Billy Volek types that everybody thinks would be the answer to everything around here, and he hasn't done it. So,
but he's done it some with Testaverde and Flutie,
but,
and even what's his name early in his career.
That's a different kind of
Damon
veteran
Heward.
Type. You know what I'm saying? Heward was the one guy that I think fits the description of that veteran kind of backup player, and you have to go all the way back to 2001 for that. You know, the Testaverde, yeah, I think I if there were a veteran guy like that was just kicking around I think there'd be a possibility of him wanting to bring a guy like that in, but it doesn't seem like he wants the traditional backup that, you know, everybody thinks. I don't think it's all that important. I know I'm in the vast minority. A lot of people think it's playing with fire and whatnot, but I think if you have a guy that you is comfortable in your system, that's more important than experience. And let's face it, you don't want to get into that situation regardless.
And we should point out, obviously, Isaiah Stanback, who was a wide receiver most of the year, took a lot of snaps at quarterback. So they did have somebody technically who could have taken
Right.
snaps throughout the year, but he wasn't a full-time player at the position. And then they signed Jeff Rowe to the practice squad back in, I think it was December of last year.
And he's
year.
Still here, by the way.
Yeah, so, you know, maybe they have everybody they need, but I think there's going to be some movement there at some point.
Well, I think they will look at the draft somewhere. I don't, and I know it's not supposed to be a very deep draft. There's not a lot of those kinds of guys available, but when I say draft, it could be like Hoyer last year.
Well, I think there actually are a good number of those guys available. There's not a lot of talent at the top end. There are some good guys, too. There are a lot of one-year starters, guys that slid into roles as seniors, and to me that smells like a Bill pick. Oh, the guy didn't get his chance for whatever reason, started, showed something as a senior. I'll take him, and I'll give him time to develop. Jarrett Brown, the kid out of West Virginia, is a guy I think could fill that role. Got stuck behind Pat White,
yeah.
Comes in, has the build, has a little bit of athleticism, is not Pat White, is not the, you know, run the ball over the field skinny guy. He is a legitimate potential prospect to develop. I think there are some of those interesting guys that have strange little stories as to why they are fifth-round picks and why they may not be higher than that.
And, you know, it's interesting that we're having this conversation 2 years after they drafted a quarterback in the third round, who presumably was
because it's 1 year after they cut said quarterback.
Exactly.
And he's in New York.
Right.
Behind your franchise quarterback, Mark Sanchez.
Now, there's one we missed on.
What?
Yeah, a quarterback that we drafted high.
We all liked him.
Yeah, we all did like him.
Me didn't like him once I started to see him throw at people's shins.
No, but when we
watched his draft process.
He was an intriguing prospect.
Yeah. In the draft process, we all liked him.
Listen,
I know you're getting a lot of compliments talent evaluation.
You've done a fine job bringing this full circle, Paul, because
I really
once you saw
him.
The guy play. Oh, I didn't. This is why Tebow.
In college, I'm talking about.
The idea of Tim Tebow is great, just like the idea of Kevin O'Connell was phenomenal. Coming off the combine, he was a hot name. He was athletic. He was a leader at San Diego State. All those things.
4-year captain.
Then you got into camp and you go, why does he keep throwing those 5-yard passes? That guy's shins.
Yeah, I liked his
tape. Is he still going to be throwing those into his shins in 2 years?
Yeah.
And yes, he was.
As you know, I'm not with you guys for all that combine.
No, but you hear the buzz.
The buzz that I got
actually,
was just on watching the tape. I liked his tape. And when he got here, you're right.
He sucked.
He wasn't the same guy.
And they tried to tweak his motion. Again, we get back to Tebow. They tried to change his mechanics and his delivery and all this. And they cut him.
Well, listen to him. You're tired.
So we come full circle.
He's very
Kevin
quick,
O'Connell
very
and Tim
quick
Tebow,
with that self-pat
same
in the back,
guy.
But
you know, we're going to get a chance to see a lot.
I'm pretty sure we all said. Why didn't get a chance to
see? That's what I said. We all liked him. We missed on that one, but you know, suddenly now it's just me and Eric.
No, we liked the theory, and then we saw him play, and we didn't like the theory so much anymore. The theory failed in practicality.
Theory schmear.
Which is where I think Tim Tebow is. The theory is he's this great leader, and he's going to work hard. At some point, he needs to do the job, right?
Yeah.
Now, you wanted
exactly.
to get to the preseason schedule.
We just want to mention it, right? It came out
because that's
week.
Indeed where the roster will unfold.
And he's lost interest. Sam Bradford's on TV.
Ooh, hey, hi.
Yep, we're going to open up August 12th. That's a Thursday night game against New Orleans here at Gillette Stadium, Super Bowl champions.
Might have heard of them. The Saints
yep.
are marching into town.
Mm-hmm. A week later, on August 19th, we go to Atlanta for a primetime 8 o'clock nationally televised Fox game against
with franchise quarterback Matt Ryan.
Yep, and former Patriots director of college scouting, Thomas Dimitrov, the GM there.
Is he actually
going to
play that day?
No, but he's doing, you know, he'll be there, I think. He'll be in attendance.
Probably. He probably watches the preseason games.
The Thursday after that, St. Louis comes to town.
Sam Bradford.
Hosts them, Andy's favorite player, most likely. Yeah,
another franchise quarterback comes to town.
Yeah, the only thing is it's the third preseason game, Eric, so yep. I don't know how much we'll see. Usually okay. the starters play the whole game.
Give me the starter. Name the starter.
Wow. Craig Knoll.
Yeah, because
wow.
you read the column upstairs where I learned his name, too. I couldn't name Craig Knoll
Craig
before
Knoll.
This day.
Oh, boy. And then we round out with our traditional fourth preseason game opponent, the New York Giants, at the new Giants Stadium, whatever it's going to be called.
Stadium, I believe.
Sometime between September 2nd and 5th, that's Labor Day weekend. My guess is it's going to be before the Saturday
yes.
because that's
yes.
when cuts are usually made.
Yeah, I would assume it'll be the 2nd.
The latest it would be the 3rd.
The new stadium, yeah. I like new stadiums.
Yep.
I like that first official look at them, although we've seen it and it looks ugly and terrible.
It kind of does. But my prediction, Paul, I don't know if you heard me say this to Andy the other day, was we're going to have back-to-back games in that stadium, ending the preseason and starting the regular season on Monday night versus the Jets. That's my prediction. We'll know in a week or two when the schedule comes out for real.
I think the Jets are going to open up with Miami on that Monday night.
Okay.
I'll just go with Eric's wrong because I like to go against Eric.
All right, then.
I'm just going by some stuff that I've read.
You read?
No.
Even on Good Friday, Andy has to be bad.
I'll tell you what was bad, this podcast, and we're going to put an end to it.
Good.
That's another Patriots.com roster report where we update you on all the various moves that have happened throughout the week. And if no moves happen, we babble for 20-plus minutes on the quarterback position, which we all know is Tom Brady's and nothing else matters. Until next week, take care.
Peace out.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from Patriots.com. Log on anytime for more news and more podcasts from your favorite team and Patriots.com.